Welcome to Searchlight, a survey through Scripture with Pastor John Corson. It is our desire to bring you a systematic study of the entire Bible, chapter by chapter, book by book. Here on Searchlight, we have been looking at the life of Samson. In many ways, this is a very sad story. As we read about his life in Judges, we see a man who is controlled by lust, given to anger, and a man of missed opportunities. Yet incredibly, we see him in God's hall of faith in Hebrews chapter 11. Why is this? Perhaps it is because of the way he died. With his hands outstretched, a blind, humbled Samson brought down the temple of Dagon upon himself and 3,000 Philistines. In dying this way, Samson portrayed a picture of what Jesus would do for us. And God saw that and commended him for it. As we join John for the conclusion to this teaching, he is encouraging us to also look for the good in people. With the explanation of how this works and why we should do it, here now is Pastor John.
My wife just finished a couple of nights ago. We've only been back for a couple of days, but she finished on the first or second night two big family scrapbooks of the vacation that we went on. And it's great. And she's quite a photographer. And she takes good pictures and captures people in the right light and all the rest, uses the diffuser when she takes a picture of me. You know, it kind of softens the look and all the rest. She's real gifted in that way. And I love that because that portrays something of our Lord who is full of grace. Grace, putting people in the best light, diffusing our flaws and shortcomings and all the rest. My son, Ben, and he also is into photography now. And he goes around with this digital camera, though. And whereas Tambo portrays the grace of God, well, it says concerning our Lord that in him are found grace and truth. Ben goes for the truth, the brutal truth. He's a paparazzi. That's his new name. I'm a paparazzi. And he catches people off guard in their worst moment, you know, and snaps this thing. And it's one of those digital things, so it shows up right away and all the rest, you see. And, you know, grace and truth. See, my wife shows the grace of God. My son shows the truth of God. They come together, you see. Now, one could say, so what are you suggesting, John? I'm saying this. I'm saying that I believe there's a truth to what the rabbis teach, that all of humanity historically, collectively, is needed to portray even something of the hugeness, the vastness, the glory, the beauty, the wonder of God. And yet, all of humanity has fallen. God had to then do something radical, send his son to become one of us. God became like you. God became like me, yet without sin. He dwelt among us. It's called the incarnation. For what reason? That we can see God clearly as we look at Jesus specifically. So Jesus came to do what has been needed, and that is to declare to me and declare to you the nature and character of God. But all people can and indeed do share something or show something of his greatness, his character, his nature, his grandeur. And we ought to treat each other in that way. Every person that you come into contact with, you ought to say, there's something of God in him or in her. She, he, they were made in the image of God. And I must not mock them or look down on them or find fault with them, but rather to say, Lord, let me see them the way that you do. Samson, I would say, mediocre. God says, but I see this in him. And he places him in the hall of faith. He pictures and portrays my son that day. Now, that's your assignment. Your assignment this week is to go throughout the week and look at everyone as being made in the image of God. And finding what you can and esteeming and extolling what you see. I'm going to find the good. I'm going to discover, Lord, what I can about your nature, about your character, about who you are as I look at this man or look at that woman or those people. Now, a couple of thoughts and we'll be through that are very important for me and I hope for you. Samson here, in the hall of faith, a guy that we would say is mediocre, flawed, and he was, obviously. But yet he does something which portrays Jesus powerfully. He dies to take out the enemy. And this does two things for me that I want to share with you briefly. Number one, it's very liberating. It's very liberating. It's very liberating. What do you mean, John? I'm free. Because I know that I am a man of mediocrity. I know that I have potential and blessings and opportunities that God graciously entrusted to me. And you do too. But we have messed up. We haven't followed through. We haven't been good stewards like we ought to. Every one of us, like Samson, has dropped the ball. Every one of us, like Samson, has missed the mark. Every one of us, like Samson, has messed up. But Jesus, the one whom Samson is portraying, came to do what? To take out the mockers, the booers, the jeerers who are up in the loft above me saying, you didn't do this and you're not doing that and you shouldn't have done the other and you're out to lunch here and you've missed the mark there. And these mockers, these demons condemn me. And Satan screams at me. And there is continual booing and jeering and hissing as they make fun of me. And the same is true for most of you. You too have heard the voices of the Philistines who are making fun, who are booing and hissing, mocking and jeering, who are saying, ha ha, you're supposed to be a Christian. You're supposed to be a godly woman. You're supposed to be a leader. You're supposed to be a servant. Look at you. Look how you've dropped the ball with your family. Look how you've messed up with those people that were connected to you professionally. Look at how you dropped it there and messed it up here. And those Philistines jeer and they boo and they hiss. But Jesus comes on the scene. And Jesus brings down the house when he cried on the cross, when he would cry triumphantly, it is finished. The price has been paid for all of John Corson's sins, the mistakes that he's made, or the mistakes that he's making, or the mistakes that he might make in the future too. All of that mediocrity, all of that mess, all of that sadness, you see, has been paid by me, Jesus would say. And I've washed away his sin. And now he's in the hall of faith because there is no sin on his record. It's all been paid for. And that's the great news for me. I don't know if it's great news for you, but it is for a guy like me. I stand here today and I say, I'm so thankful I'm a Christian. I'm so glad I'm saved. Because I too know that, Lord, I haven't followed through. I've missed the mark. I've dropped the ball time and again. And Lord, my life should be branded with one single word, mediocrity. But Lord, you've placed me in the New Testament hall of faith because of your son, the greater than Samson, who came and stood on that holy ground called Calvary and was pinned with his hands pierced to that wooden tree. And he defeated the enemy. So all of their jeering, all of that mocking that Satan would whisper in your ear or that demons would shout in your face, it's all been taken care of. It's all been erased. I'm so grateful. I'm so thankful for the gospel. I can stand before you today and say, hey, I'm in the hall of faith. Why? You're mediocre at best. You're really quite a mess. True. But Jesus came. And what Jesus did on that cross, on that holy ground, in that temple called Calvary, is he took took the house down. He beat back Satan's accusations because he paid the price for my sins and iniquities. And now I'm free. And all that God records are the good things that I have done. And from that, I will get rewards in that day to come. And so too for you. You're free, folks. This is the gospel of grace. There is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. Your sin and iniquity, God declares, will I remember no more. You're forgiven. I'm forgiven. We're free. Well, I know you and I think you're mediocre. Well, that's Old Testament. But in the New Testament economy, the Old Testament, you're right. It's true. I am mediocre, just like you. But in the New Testament, here I am in the hall of faith. Here I am because my sin has been forgiven because of what he did that day. What a grand liberating truth. So Samson goes down as a winner, not as a loser. He goes down in Hebrews chapter 11 as one of those that was inducted into the hall of faith because he portrays what Christ did. Boom! Let me die. Let the enemy come crashing down. Let the Philistines be wiped out. It's liberating. Secondly, and we're done, it's illuminating. Because here's what I want you to hear and understand today. It's a great story. Yes. We see Samson with all of his flaws and failings. But then we understand that he does what Jesus would do. He portrays Jesus in that moment for me and for you. The cross is portrayed. The cross is seen. And so we now understand that in God's economy, he's exalted in the hall of faith, really. But it also frees me up. It liberates me, but it also enlightens me, pardon me, I should say. I'm illuminated today by this story. Why are you illuminated, John? Because this is something which you can do, which I can too. I might not be able to kill Philistines, or I might not be able to judge Israel. I might not be able to be a conqueror, a mighty man like I would like to be. But this I can do. Listen carefully. This I can do. You can too. Samson's moment came. Samson's fame came. Samson's greatness came. Not in the life he lived, but in the death that he chose. He died. And more were killed in his death, in that one moment of dying. Let me die. More were killed. The enemy was dealt a devastating blow when on that day he would say, let me die. Not let me live, Lord, to be used by you, but let me just simply die. And you see, here's what you can do. You might not be able to kill Goliaths. You might not be able to take on Philistines. You might not be able to call down fire like the heroes of old did. But this you can do. Jesus said, if any man come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. You can die. And you will do more damage to the kingdom of hell. You will have a greater impact for God and be greatly rewarded by the Lord to the extent that you die. What do you mean? Any of you and each of us this week or today can choose to die. Die to who? Die to what? To your right? They're making fun of me, Lord. It's not right what they're saying, Lord. It's not proper. It's not fair. It's not good, whatever it might be. We can say, but Lord, I'm going to choose to die. I'm going to choose to let go of my rights. I'm going to choose to let go of my reputation. I'm going to choose to let go of what I think, and I'm going to die. You see, there can be no reconciliation apart from death. If a man and his wife are at odds, There's no reconciliation until one of them chooses to die. If a child and a parent are at odds, there's no reconciliation until one of them chooses to die. If two neighbors are at odds or two brothers are at odds, when people are at odds, there only can be one way to reconciliation, and that is death. Somebody's got to die. Somebody's got to say, I'm not going to defend myself. I'm not going to stand up for my right. I'm not going to do what I think ought to be done. But I'm going to follow Jesus, who, when he was wronged, chose to say, Father, forgive them. Who didn't deserve to be crucified on the tree, but chose to die for you and me that we might be reconciled, you see. I wonder today, right now, right here, I wonder if there might be people in this amphitheater. Right now you are stressed out at your husband. Women, anybody, don't raise your hand. Any wife here that would say, I'm stressed out with my husband. I just can't believe that he's wanting to go there or do this or lead us in that way. I can't. Die, lady, die. Let it go. But he's wrong. Let it go. Jesus did. He died. He wasn't wrong. His words and his ways were right. But he knew that there could be no reconciliation without death. There could not be reconciliation between man and God without there being death, and he chose to die. What about that, teenager? I know you think your dad's an idiot or your mom is unfair, but here's what you can do to be great today. You might not be able to lead a revival on the campus of North or South or Impact Soccer, whatever it might be, in a big time way. But here's what you can do. The greatest thing you can do is die to yourself today and say, Lord, I'm going to die. Like Samson prayed, like Jesus did. I'm going to die. I'm not going to demand my ways or my point of view or my rights. I'm not going to defend myself. I'm just going to say whatever. Mom, whatever. Dad, whatever. Whatever you say, but it'll kill me. Good. Because here's the thing you ought to know. Here's the thing you got to see. Why would somebody like Jesus want to die? Jesus knew that after he did that, 3 days later, he would rise again. 3 days later, there would be resurrection. He would be glorified, exalted, elevated, that he would ascend into heaven. Wouldn't it be something if Jesus was on the cross, not just for 6 hours, but for 6 days or 6 weeks or 6 months or 6 years or 600 years? He could have been saying, I'm not going to die. I'm not going to die. I've got my rights. I've got to make a defense. I've got to say this. I've got to be understood. I've got to have my way. What if he said that? It would be a tragic thing to see a man on a cross struggling hour after hour, day after day, week after week, month by month, year after year. And finally we would say, just die. Just let it go. When they came to Jesus that day, they were amazed because it was only 6 hours. And they came to break his legs, to hasten his death. But you know what they discovered? He's already dead. Why did he die so quickly? Why did he die with such rapidity? Because the sooner he would die, the sooner would come his resurrection, you see. And the sooner I die and say, whatever, whatever, I let go. I'm not going to come down on you. I'm going to find something of God in you because you're made in the image of God. And I'm going to choose to die. I'm not going to be critical of you or cynical about you because you're made in the image of God. And my flesh might say mediocre or double loser, but wait a minute, God looks at you in a different way. And I'm going to find something of God in you, and I'm going to take this opportunity to die to me, because the sooner I die, the sooner there will be resurrection. the sooner there will be glorification and exaltation. And I tell you, I've gone through this, and perhaps you have too, where you're determined not to die. You're going to have your way. Your voice is going to be heard. Your point of view is going to be out there, you see, day after day, month after month, whatever it might be. And it's a bloody mess. And I say to you today, just let go. Give it up. Die. And watch and see what will happen. The sooner you die, the sooner there'll be resurrection. Guess what? I can do that. I can't live the way I'd like to live. I can't do the things I'd like to do, but I can die, and so can you. Right now, you can let go of the axe that you're grinding. Right now, you can let go of the battle that you're fighting. Right now, you can let go of the grudge that you're holding. Right now, you can say, I give up. Like Samson that day, let me die. That the demons and the hellions that are in the balcony over my head might be brought down. That Satan might be beaten back. That God, your kingdom might be brought about in my home, in my heart, with my friend, in the community, whatever it might be. I'm just going to die. I wonder who today in the amphitheater here needs to die to something specifically. I wonder who today might be set free in a simple way by simply saying, I've dropped the ball. I've missed the mark, but this I can do. Like Samson on that day, I can choose to die. And hey, Lord, that's what I say. I'm just going to let it go. I'm going to give it up. I'm going to allow you to do whatever you choose, Lord. I'm going to follow you. Like you told me to. I'm going to take up my cross. Taking up the cross means choosing to die. Listen, by the way, taking up the cross does not mean if you have cancer, as hard as that might be, or if somebody left you, as heartbreaking as that would be. When a man takes up the cross, it means he's choosing something that is painful for him to be redemptive to others round about him. Taking up the cross is not when my back goes out. Or when a child is taken home. Taking up the cross is something that I choose to do and don't have to, but I've chosen to be redemptive, you see. I'm choosing to die to self to say, I want to see you do better. I want to see you excel. I want your walk or your life to do well. And so I'm going to die to my way that you might do better this day. That's what taking up the cross means. And Jesus said, if you follow me, here's the key. You deny yourself, you take up the cross, death. Why? Because Jesus said, if you'll lose your life, you'll find it. After crucifixion comes resurrection. I challenge you today, folks, friends, brothers, sisters. I challenge you. Move from mediocrity into greatness. Not by what you do in life, but by how you let go and embrace death and say, I'm going to die. You too, like Samson, will find today hell will be beaten back. The temple of Dagon will collapse in, and you'll go down in his economy as a man or a woman of greatness, even though others might say, there's not much to you. God will say something altogether different about you.
Aren't you glad that God looks at things differently? God looked at the way Samson was willing to die to himself and declared, that is greatness. And he will say the same thing about us. As we are willing to choose to die to ourselves to bless others, God will declare, that is greatness.
This teaching is also available on the Searchlight website at johncorson.com. You will also find on the website Pastor John's books and other Bible study resources. Again, the address of the website is johncorson.com. That's johncorson.com.
We are all on a journey in this life. If you are a believer in God, your journey is taking you to heaven. To help us keep our eyes on our destination, we have a book available called A Place for You, Reflections on Heaven. This book, taken from sermons that John has given, focuses on the hope of heaven. Heaven is a real place, and it is not that far away. This book is for everyone who longs for that day when we will be in heaven with our Savior. You may order A Place for You from our website at johncorson.com.
Searchlight is an independent ministry that is not financially supported by any church or organization. We appreciate your prayers and support. May the Lord richly bless you.